in them that God wants a loving relationship with his people. God wants that relationship to blossom. But there are terms to that relationship. And he expects his people, the children of Israel, to live up to those expectations. Just as we today, we look at this book of Deuteronomy. It has a lot of significance in our lives as Christians. Well, you know, that was an Old Testament book, and we see that we're no longer under the Mosaic Law. But it teaches us the type of relationship that God wanted with his people, children of Israel, and us today as his children, because we are his children. Also, we look at Deuteronomy. We see Jesus in the book. And Jesus becomes a curse for us. And we'll develop that particular point later on. But he died on the cross, not only for the sins of those people in the Old Testament, because his blood not only flowed backwards, but also us today, his blood flows forward. And we, as his people, have the forgiveness of sins. So, the word Deuteronomy, it comes from a Greek word, and I can't say the Greek word because it's about 26 different letters that I can't read, and I butcher even the names of these people of the Old Testament, so I'll try to stay away from my pronunciation of them. But it comes from the Greek word. A Greek word that says the second law, or a law copied or repeated. I think I got that right. Say, I have a question, Ted.
Yeah.
How do I get rid of my picture? I don't want to look at myself.
I'll take care of it.
Okay. It covers my slide, so I can't read it. So anyway, that's where the word Deuteronomy comes from. We also see that in the book of Deuteronomy, there you go, perfect, thank you. Moses, okay, let me move this over. Okay, great. Moses is writing a series of three different speeches that he's going to share or communicate with people of Israel in the plains of Moab, the day before they entered the land of Canaan, the promised land. And these messages are not solely for those people who are religious, but they're for every member of the congregation. And there were people that came with the Israelites who weren't Israelites, but they were still part of the group. Unlike the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the covenant that Yahweh made with Israel was bilateral, which that means it's a two-way street. God had given them the promised land, but God expected them to be faithful. He would promise to bless the nation, the people that entered the promised land, with the stipulation that they remain faithful to him. That's an admonition for you and I today. We should always put God first in our lives. We should always make sure that He's on the forefront of our minds. He's our priority before our families, before our children, before self. God is first. And when you look at these five books, the first five books of the Old Testament, we see our God is great. He is powerful. He created everything that we enjoy as Christians, as people, even the very air we breathe. And Moses had a purpose of writing, of reminding the people of God's law. He wanted to make sure that they didn't forget. He wanted to make sure that that law was on their hearts, minds, and souls. And everything that God did for them, and every promise that God made to them. Their God is great. And their God is the same God that we worship. He hasn't changed. He's constant. And Moses explained to them that their new life in the land of Canaan would be blessed or cursed depending on their ability to walk after God and His law. That is a powerful statement to me. Keep God's law. We as humans, we fall short of that in our lives. Paul reminded us of that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sin on our account. We look at Abraham. He sinned. We look at Moses. We talked about him last week. He sinned. And that sin deprived him of entrance into the promised land. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. And these words were spoken to them on the 11th month of the final year of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, the 40th year after they left Egypt, the 40th year after they were freed from Egyptian slavery. That must have been mind-blowing to those individuals that he's talking to. They weren't slaves in Egypt. Their ancestors were. And Moses was reminding them to make sure they stay on the straight and narrow. So we see in chapters 1 through 4, Moses reviews some of the details of the past history of Israel, such as the Exodus and wandering in the wilderness. And he urges them that they obey the laws of God. Something that we should also remember, God's laws in our lives. Make sure we follow them. In chapters 5 through 28 of Deuteronomy, Moses restates the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. And Moses explains the principles and instructions for living a godly life as God's chosen nation. God expects that His children put Him first, as He expects you and I, who are Christians, put God first. And this includes how to love the Lord, laws of worship that He had given the children of Israel, laws regarding relationships like divorce, and also the consequences and penalties if the laws are broken. So when you, as Christians, look at the book of Deuteronomy, we see that it's applicable to our lives as Christians. God's laws, God's commandments, We have to keep on our minds, keep on our hearts, keep on our souls, so that by God's grace and glory and mercy, we may attain eternal life. In chapters 29 to 30 in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites were moved that were listening to Moses. As a nation, they committed to follow God. And this consists of not only knowing the many laws that God had commanded, but also obeying them and placing God first. Something Christians, you and I, have to do on a daily basis. And how do we do that? By studying the Bible, by meditating on God's word, by praying about it, but more important, put it into action. Putting God's word into action in our lives so that we could display Jesus the Christ. In chapters 31 through 34, the leadership of Israel is passed on to Joshua. Now, Moses is at the end of his life, and somebody has to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And that responsibility is put on Joshua. And next week in our class, we're going to talk about Joshua, the book of Joshua. And one of the things that stands in my mind when I read the book of Joshua is how committed Joshua was in honoring God. How committed he was to put God first. And Moses, who was leading him the entire time, hands over his authority to Joshua and commissions him. In this particular section of Deuteronomy, we see that Moses blesses the tribes, which reminds us of what Jacob did 450 years ago in Genesis chapter 50, where he blesses his sons. And Moses is passing that on. We also see in chapter 34, God shows Moses the promised land, although we cannot enter it. And after this, Moses, the servant of the Lord, dies on Mount Nebo at the age of 120. And the Lord buried him in the valley near Beth Peor in Moab in an unknown place. Here's Moses, the Lord's servant, God's prophet, who went before Pharaoh and demanded that Pharaoh let God's people go. And after God's intervention with the plagues, which we studied in Exodus, that happened. And now Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, leading his people. Yet he failed to obey God. And this deprived him of going into the promised land. Can I get someone to read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, please? Can I get a volunteer for that? Go ahead, Ted.
Right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you.
Thank you, Ted. So we see that no one should add to God's commandments. This is what he told the children of Israel. And what did Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please? And you guys on Zoom could jump in anytime.
I can do it.
Go ahead, James.
For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you, James. So we see that Jesus was saying, don't change God's laws. And John reiterates that in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Can I get a volunteer to read that for us, please? Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 18.
I justify everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book.
Thank you, Ron. So we see that God's word stands forever, and he doesn't want anybody to change it. We go back to the example in Genesis where In chapter 6, where Noah was building the ark, he had God's blueprints. He didn't change those blueprints. He didn't deviate from God's plan. He followed them. And that's an encouragement for you and I to follow God's commandments in all that we do. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Sometimes it's going to be costly to us. But he expects his people to be faithful. Just as the Old Testament children of Israel were, they weren't supposed to add to the laws, and Jesus had said the same thing, and also he shared that, the Holy Spirit shared that with the Apostle John in Revelation. So when you look at the Old Testament, it ties together with the New Testament. Can I get a volunteer to read this particular passage? It's a little long. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 45 to 47, please.
When Moses had finished speaking all these words to all Israel, he said to them, take to your heart all the words with which I am warning you today, which you shall command your sons to observe carefully, even all the words of this law. For it is not an idle word for you. Indeed, it is your life. And by this word, you will prolong your days in the land, which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess.
Thank you, Wes. So we see that in Deuteronomy, Moses is warning the people to stand firm in God's ways. Not their ways, but God's ways. And when we go through the book of Joshua, and we're going to go through that quickly, we're going to see how they deviated from God's ways. They made some concessions in the promised land. And we're going to see that throughout the history of the children of Israel. And it's a learning tool for you and I when we look at the Old Testament. Of course, it reminds us what our obligation is as Christians, to be faithful, to be loyal, to be loving, to be compassionate, just as God is to you and I. So we see in Deuteronomy that Moses' address to the Hebrews reviewed all the time of the 40 years since they left Egypt. He also shares with them again a repeat of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 7 through 20, 21. God had set aside the tribe of Levi to work for the Lord, and not to have any land portions in the promised land. And that's inscribed in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 8 and 9. We also see that Moses reminds them about what to eat and not to eat. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 through 21. We also see that the rule that every 7 years people must cancel debts, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. And that's in turn called the year of release. Moses' instructions to set up 3 cities of refuge, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 2 and 3. And they're the same as we read last week in Numbers, in the Numbers account. So God's laws don't vacillate. They stay firm. And when we look at the New Testament, as we go deeper into our study of the overview, we're going to see that they're applicable to you and I today. Again, the rule for anyone who is a false witness against someone was given as life for life, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. These are laws that are very difficult to keep. And God expected them to do the best they can, as he expects you and I to live a faithful and godly life. And it was pointed out that cross-dressing was wrong for either sex, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. I bring these up because society today accepts this. We as Christians should not. There are people who stand up, and we as a people should stand up for God, for what is right, what is righteous. So there are a number of lessons that we could draw upon as when we read the book of Deuteronomy. First of all, the book of Deuteronomy underscores the importance of God's word. It is a vital part of our lives. Even today as Christians, God's word is important. Although we are no longer under the Old Testament law, we as God's people are still responsible to submit to the will of God in our lives. It's not that we do it part-time. It's not that we do it when we want to do it. It's not that we let the outside pressures of the world influence us. We should have God's laws on our hearts and our minds constantly. And simple obedience brings blessings, and sin has consequences. Yes, Carolee?
Yes, I was just thinking, when a woman wears jeans, is that considered cross-dressing?
I don't think so.
Not in this culture.
No. Cross-dressing is when a man wears a dress.
Not in this culture. It may be in another culture, but not in our culture. That's going to be culturally big.
There you go.
That's all there is to it.
Good point. So anyway, simple obedience brings blessings. And we as a people are blessed. We are blessed beyond belief as Christians. But if you deviate from that blessing, sin has consequences. Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, a spiritual separation from God. But the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's what we should be focusing on as Christians. Can I get someone to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, please?
I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
Thank you. So we see that Moses is telling the children of Israel, he sets two items before them, life and death, the blessing and the curse. And he encourages these individuals to love God by obeying what he says, obeying his voice, by holding him fast to their lives, because that's what God expects. Our relationship with God is to be marked by faithfulness, loyalty, love, and devotion. As a Christian, these should be our qualities that we should indulge upon our lives. And it is by God, the grace of God, that he wanted to make covenant with Israel. And we as Christians have a relationship with God. And we should be faithful. We should be loyal. We should love him and be devoted to him all the time in our lives. And it's not just when we want to be. It's not when it's convenient for us. It's at all times. We see that nobody's above the law. Even Moses, the leader and prophet chosen by God, was required to obey. The reason that he was not allowed to enter the promised land was that he disobeyed the Lord's clear command. Let's go back to Numbers. Can I get a volunteer to read Numbers chapter 20, verses 9 through 13, please? Numbers 20, beginning with verse 9.
And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and the beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Those were the waters of Meribah, because the sons of Israel contended with the Lord, and he proved himself holy among them.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that they were complaining to Moses about not having water. Moses was so upset, he struck the rock twice. And that wasn't God's plan. He didn't show God the glory. He said, I gave you the water. What more do you want? He's human, just like you and I. And he sinned. And that denied him entrance into the promised land. We have to be cautious in our lives. We should practice God's commandments to the best of our ability. We fall short many times as humans. So we are very privileged because we have an avenue to approach God, and that is through Christ Jesus. And we said Jesus was a curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law and became a curse for himself. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 22 and 23. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is the curse of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance.
Thank you, Faye. And we read that again in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we look at Deuteronomy, and we see a connection in the New Testament about Jesus. It's phenomenal. When you read the Old Testament, you could see Jesus in the Old Testament. And we shouldn't discount what the Old Testament is, because it's our tutor to bring us to Christ, to bring God's word to those in the world. And that's up to you and I. As Israel remembered God's faithfulness, so should we. When we read about the accounts in the Old Testament, we should be looking at it as God being so merciful to you and I. The crossing of the Red Sea, the holy presence at Sinai, the blessing of manna in the desert should be encouragement not only to the children of Israel during that time period, but to us today, because God provided. And if you look at your life today, God is providing for you and I. A great way to keep going forward in our lives is to take some time to look back and see what God has done. God had given us his son to die on the cross. That's the ultimate sacrifice that all mankind has. And we're living in a generation that has the Bible, has all what God had explained to individuals to share with you and I. And we're very grateful for living in this time, because we could read about this and we could apply these things to our lives. During the time when he was tested in the wilderness, that's Jesus, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy three times, and that's found in Matthew chapter 4. In so doing, Jesus illustrated for us the necessity of keeping God's word in our hearts, that we might not sin against him. David wrote in Psalms chapter 119, verse 11. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please? Thank you very much. So we see that we should put God's word in our hearts. so that we won't sin against God. We're tempted, and sometimes we fall into that temptation. But treasure God's word in your heart, that you could rely on that, so that you could withstand the temptations of the devil. In Deuteronomy, we see a loving God who desires a relationship with his children. And the Lord names love as a reason that he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and redeemed them. That's our God also. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, we read, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because God, the Lord, loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his commandment, his covenant, and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." Thousandth generation. Okay, so we're in that thousand generations. So it's up to you and I to be faithful, to be loving God for what he has given us. Keep his commandments. And that's an admonition, an encouragement for you and I.
Sharing your slides weren't being shared with people at home, so I got notification of that, and now I'm sharing them with them.
We're back online. Thanks, Ted. Okay. For the children of Israel, it was necessary to perfectly keep the Mosaic law. Did they? No. It was an impossibility to keep that law. They had endless sacrifices necessary to atone for the sins of the people who continually trespassed the law, would find their fulfillment in the final once for all. That's the sacrifice of Christ. Because of his atoning work on the cross, we would need no further sacrifices for sin. The Hebrew writer in chapter 10 and verse 10. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
"By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all."
Thank you, Carol. So we have been sanctified through Christ's death once for all. What a blessing that is for you and I. And what a blessing that is for those who strive to keep the Mosaic law. And some of those individuals try. Some put God first. We as his chosen people now, his children, should always be putting him first. God's choosing of the Israelites as a special people foreshadows his choosing of those who would believe in Christ. Just think about it. He chose the children of Israel. He protected them. He was merciful to them. He provided for them. And that foreshadows Christ, those who believe in Jesus. We see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Thank you, Carolyn. So we, as Christians, have God's mercy. We have God's gift, and that is Christ Jesus. And we have to believe in him. Just as the children of Israel put their faith in Jehovah, Yahweh, we as Christians should be putting off belief in Jesus Christ. And finally, Moses prophesies of another prophet, the ultimate prophet to come, who is the Messiah. Like Moses, Jesus would receive and preach divine revelation, and he would lead his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see this great fire anymore, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak them all that I command him. It shall come about that whosoever or whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him.
Thank you. So Moses is telling the children of Israel there's going to be another prophet to come, and that is the Messiah. And we read in John chapter 6 and verse 14 about Jesus. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. So they recognized that Jesus was a prophet. But what did they do? What did these people do? They crucified him. They crucified Jesus. And that was God's plan all along, to offer up his son for our sins, the perfect lamb, the sacrificial lamb that we have. Does anybody want to add anything to our study tonight on Deuteronomy? I know it's a book, Old Testament, very tedious reading, but yet it means a lot to you and I as Christians. The law. Follow God's commandments. Follow God's law. Anybody on Zoom have anything to add?
I just wanted to ask whether we'll be able to get the other verses and such online that we weren't able to see.
If the screen wasn't shared for most of the session, so Jerry will be able to post your slides on the website. You'll just need to send them a copy.
Okay, thank you, Ted.
Yeah.
And I sent my PowerPoint to Jerry, so he has it, and he'll post not only this lesson, but the future lessons of this particular PowerPoint presentation. James, you had something? Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think it's pretty staggering looking at the amount of parallels from their lives and their relationship with God versus ours. They're dealing with the same type of sin. They're dealing with the same issues. If you look, especially in our country today, there's thousands of religions trying to add and take away from the scriptures. And they were dealing with the same thing. And, I mean, there's a great saying, those who don't read history are doomed to repeat it. And we're dealing with the same exact thing. And it's really important that we study these Old Testament books that deal with those same issues.
Very good. It increases your growth as a Christian. It brings to mind that the God of the Old Testament is the same God that we serve in the New Testament. Very good point. Are there any other questions or comments? I appreciate everybody's participation tonight. Like I said, next week I'm going to be doing this remotely from Colorado, and we're going back to 7 o'clock, and Dean will update that in the bulletin.